Salvation that we found in Christ. So why don't you join us as we sing?
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb. Till I met you.
being with us this morning. If you're new with us, I'd just like to especially welcome you. We start our services in worship, and it's just our way of saying thank you, God, for everything you've done. You might see us lifting our hands and dancing around, and that's because the joy of the Lord lives within us. So come on, let's sing out this morning. Let's give him glory for everything he's done for us.
Flows like a river, washing over me. Hands of heaven, love of Christ, overflowing me. Thank you, Jesus. You set me. Thank you.
God praise this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God.
Good morning, church. It is so good to be with you all this morning. We're going to take a few moments just to go to God in prayer as a church congregation. Every week we get requests that come through to us through our website, through our Connect cards, for requests. And so we want to get together as a group under one roof this morning and lift these requests up before God. We had a request specifically come through for a dad who underwent open heart surgery this past week. We were praying for him all week. We're praying for a speedy recovery for him and for comfort for his family through this tough time. For an adult daughter who's in need of healing. Multiple requests for friends and family to come to know Jesus and to experience him for the first time. As well as requests from you guys asking requests for deeper knowledge and deeper presence of God in your own life. And so we'll be praying for that this morning. That we are a church with audacious faith. And that prayer for us isn't a formality. It's just not something we do on Sundays. But we actually believe that God moves. And when we pray in Jesus' name and with faith, that he actually moves heaven and earth. So this morning, we're going to go to God in prayer, believing for a move of God. And that's in your life, in my life, in our lives this morning. If you feel comfortable, just leaning in, pressing God, saying we want more of you this morning, God. Jesus, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for what you're already doing in our hearts. We just worship you this morning, God. You're a good, good God. Thank you for pursuing us with your love. That when we left and ran every request in this room today, Lord, we have requests for healing, Father, for financial provision, Lord, for friends and family to come to know you, Jesus. God, we have one goal here this morning, one goal alone, and that's to get to know you more and experience your presence, Jesus. We understand that we are nothing without you. And as we sang this morning, God, it's your breath in our lungs. And so, whether this morning we're coming off our best week, we are going to say, great are you, Lord. And if it's our worst week, we're going to stand here in faith and say, great are you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Come on, church. Let's continue worshiping God this morning. Let's sing. Again, everybody, what a great start to the morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is Troy, and I get the privilege of being the executive pastor here at Resonate. If you're new with us here this morning, as Becky said, we just want to welcome you. We hope you feel at home this morning. There's a Connect card on the seat beside you. We'd love it for you if you'd fill that card out at some point in the service this morning. And while you're doing that, there's a spot at the bottom where you can fill out prayer requests as well, too. We've got a prayer team that is dedicated to pray for every single request throughout the week. And so we would appreciate you filling out your requests, even praise reports as well, too. If God's been doing something crazy in your life, fill that out as well, too. We'd love to celebrate with you on that. We're going to take a couple moments this morning just to connect with each other. We do this every single week. So if you feel comfortable, turn around, meet somebody new around you. If you feel more comfortable just sitting down, that's fine. And we're going to be back here in just a couple minutes. Staring at
makes my heart come alive. Suddenly brought to life when I met you. Reaching beyond the skies, running deep, stretching wide. Perfect love realized here with you. Now this love is for real, you will never let go, never let go. Oh, and it's more than just words, love beyond my control, out of control. This is real love, this is real love. This is real love, this is real love.
All right, everybody can find their seats. We're going to get started here in just a moment. All right, everybody, good morning. We're just going to get started here in just a moment. Get Shane up here, Pastor Shane. Before we do, though, a couple quick announcements. First of all, we have got an exciting training that's happening today. We have one of our core values here at Resonate Church is to do life together. And one of the ways that we do life together is we do Resonate groups. And so if you're unfamiliar with what Resonate groups are, it's when we get together midweek in groups, small groups of people, around tons of different things. Some are Bible studies. We've got a guys group that's called Dudes Who Do Stuff, where they basically just do stuff. And we're still not sure exactly what they do, but they do stuff every week. We've got women's groups that meet together, that pray together, that walk together, hike together. So if you're interested, our groups have taken a time off in the summer, but they're launching again in the fall, in September. It's going to be a huge launch. And so if you're interested this morning in leading a group, or maybe you're just interested in, what are groups about? I'm potentially interested in leading a group. We want you to show up today right after the service. If you head to the back where we typically do next steps by the kids check-in, we're doing a Resonate Groups leader training. It's going to be 50 minutes, and that's the only prerequisite we have to you leading a group. And again, we've got coaches actually that'll be walking alongside you in leading groups. You're not gonna do this alone. And so if anyone has interest today in doing that, it's an amazing way throughout the week to connect with people, connect with families. My wife and I lead a young families or married group, which is half chaos because there's kids everywhere. But we just encourage you today to come out to our leader training after the service. It's 50 minutes and we want to see you there. Another quick thing we want to do this morning is every once in a while we like to give a shout out to one of our teams. And so this morning we just want to give a big shout out to our prayer team. And like I mentioned before, every single week while we're going about our weeks, all we do is we take 10 seconds and we fill out a connection card saying, I need prayer in this area this week. And that team takes those requests and every day prays over those. And I don't know about you, but for me, even just knowing that I've got a church that's standing behind me in prayer increases my faith. And so I encourage you again today, if you've got requests, fill them out either online or put them on that connections card in our prayer team. So give it up, guys, for our prayer team this morning that leans in every single week in prayer. All right, well, we're moving into week 12 of our Galatians series. I know Pastor Shane has got a word for us this morning, and so I'd encourage all of you to lean in, press into what God has for you this morning as Pastor Shane comes.
How's everybody doing this morning? Let me hear where you're at. That is so good. I don't know about you, but I am excited to be in church this morning. That was a good worship time together, and I see some faces of people I don't know yet. I want you to know that as of this week, as of this Sunday, we are officially 6 months old as a church. It's a six-month birthday. And so that means if you're brand new and you don't really know anyone, or maybe you've been around for a bit, but you still don't know too many people, we just want you to know you're not alone. There's a whole bunch of new people here, and we really do look forward to getting to know you a lot better. We, as Troy said, we are in week number 12 of our Imagine the Freedom series, but before we get into that, I want to take a moment to celebrate something. How many think we should be celebrating more, just in life in general, and in church as well? Come on, yeah, like, we could use some more celebration. Last week, what I want to celebrate is last week was our 5 for 5. We had 5 of our leaders speak for 5 minutes each, and it for me, honestly, might have been my favorite week yet at Resonate Church. I mean, it was so good. After the service, I was in the lobby just connecting with people. So it was interesting. It's amazing how things will hit you differently. What someone would say, would hit different people differently. I talked to people who were in tears. I talked to other people who were just like all smiles. But God moved through those 5 speakers. We had 4 people let us know last week that they made a first-time decision to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Come on, church, let's just celebrate what God is doing. And it's the end of the summer, getting close to the end of the summer. Hopefully you get a chance to get out this week, enjoy some sunshine. We are heading to Kelowna for a few days after the service today. And last year when we went to Kelowna, we just had a baby while we were there. Oops. And so we're hoping this isn't one of those, like, you know, you didn't know you were pregnant stories and that happens again. It'd be good if it does. It'd be great. We're ready. Let's jump right into a Bible. We're Bible people. And we said this last week. Some people think it's disrespectful to be loud and engaged in church, but I actually think the opposite is true. It's disrespectful to be quiet when you're hearing about the goodness of God. So just go ahead and lean in, even if you're back where the riffraff seat, you know, like, you just lean in, get loud, be encouraging. Then I know I don't have to belabor the point. I can just move on, and then you can, you know, we'll just keep moving. So just let me know where you're at this morning as we get into God's word. This is what Paul writes to the Galatian churches. He says this in verse 13 of chapter 5. For you were called to freedom. Everybody say freedom.
Freedom.
Come on, turn to your neighbor. And just say, get free. Turn to your other neighbor, say, get free. You were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Can we just pray one more time? We've been praying together in church. Well, let's just pray one more time. Let's just open up our hearts to God. God, we thank you for your word. I believe, God, that you want to and are already speaking by the power of your Spirit in this room. And so, God, we just lean in. We posture our hearts to receive from you, God. For everyone in the room, God, I pray today that they wouldn't just hear my simple thoughts. They would hear the power of your word, which is calling us into a new measure of freedom. And may we see Jesus today. God, that's what we're here for, is to see you, God, be close to you. Not just hear about you, but to see you and know you. And we pray this would happen by the power of your Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you this morning on the topic of finding freedom, finding freedom. And if you are with us in week number 11 of the series, you'll know that we talked about freedom in that message as well. And so why would we go back to freedom? Why are we doing the freedom double up? There's a couple of reasons I want to talk about freedom again. The first is that the book of Galatians, which we're studying verse by verse, is all about freedom. We have said that the theme verse for us in this series, the verse from which we took the title, Imagine the Freedom, was Galatians 5:1, which says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. And so the first reason I want to go back and talk about freedom again is that it really is the entire point of this book of Galatians. The second reason I want to talk about freedom, the second reason it's worth a second look, is that freedom has become the greatest value in our modern Western world. Freedom, more than anything else, is kind of like the one thing that really everybody seems to agree on, that we just need to be more free. It's become the number one value in our modern Western world. And so what we need to do, everyone really just believes that I will be free if I can just do whatever I want to do, as long as it doesn't harm anyone. If I can do what I want to do, that's what freedom looks like. And so what I want to press into again is the question of, is that really what real freedom is? And how do we discover freedom? Now, a couple of weeks ago, Rach and I, we take Mondays off as a family. We go out with the girls, and we'll often just kind of get out, travel a little bit. We'll go into the city. And so on this Monday, that's what we did. We went into Vancouver together. And Avia, she's our three-year-old. If you asked Avia, like, basically any time, Avia, what do you want to eat? If it was breakfast, if it was like 11 o'clock at night and she just woke up in the night, you say, Avia, what do you want to eat? She always says the same thing. And it's going to be awkward for her after church when everyone walks up to her and is like, hey, Avia, what do you want to eat? That's going to be awkward for her, but it's okay. She's good with it. If you ask her what she wants to eat, pretty much her answer is usually going to be the same thing. And she says it fast. And I know I talk fast too. And so maybe that's where she gets it from. She says it fast. She says, chicken strips, fries, milk, and ketchup. Avia, what do you want to eat? Chicken strips, fries, milk, and ketchup. And so she has a special place where she goes for chicken strips, fries, milk, and ketchup. And the milk at this place is oversized. It's large. It's not one of these restaurants where they give you the little, like, you know, the little flip open kind of milk. This is a place where they go to the fridge, they pull out a 4-liter jug of milk, and they pour it into like an adult cup. And I don't know why they do this with their kids' meals, but it's a blessing, you know? And so they give you this large milk, and I'm not, you know, it's been 20 years since I've wanted to, like, crush a milk, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not 9 anymore, so I don't do a lot of just, like, I'm going to go drink some milk, unless it's, like, cookies and Christmas or something like that. But then she's got this milk on the table, and I'm thrifty, I don't like to waste things, and so I will often just take, you know, start sipping on the milk. Another thing I don't really do often is drink through a straw. But, you know, I drink milk through a straw at this restaurant. And we're sitting there, and I see the milk, and I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to waste that. And so I actually pop the lid off, and I take a big drink, and I discover as it hits the back of my throat that it is completely sour. It tastes like a mixture of, like, milk and vinegar and wet towels and cheese. It's basically, you know the taste, right? And so that just hits the back of my throat like a little bit hard. And so I go up to the register and I say, this milk tastes like a whole bunch of terrible things. It's not very good. And they're, of course, apologetic. And they say, well, let me get you, I'm going to go find a new jug. of milk. And so she actually goes to the fridge and she comes back out. She's got a new jug of milk and she's like, look, it's never been opened and you can see the date. That's about a week from now. And so I'll give you this milk. And so she pours it again into like this super large cup and she gives the milk. And now because I've seen the date and I've seen that it wasn't open, I don't follow the proper protocols for milk testing. I just go ahead and I don't sniff. I just go ahead and take another large drink. And as it hits the back of my throat, I realize, you know, it tastes like a mixture of like horseradish and cottage cheese. It's just awful. It's just completely sour again. And some of you are like, I need to leave. No, I'm not feeling well. Just stick around. You'll feel better. The reason I tell that story is not to just gross you out. It's like we like to be a bit of an edgier church, but the point is not to just be like edgy and share like gross stories. The reason I share that story is this. I think that that's a picture of the way that our culture interacts with this idea of freedom. On the outside, we think I'm free if I can just do what I want to do. But the problem with that idea is this. It looks good on the outside, but when you taste it, it doesn't taste or feel like real freedom. The other problem with the way our culture interacts with this value of freedom is even though we do not feel free, we continue to go back to the same place of doing what I want to do, believing that it's going to make us feel free. It's the thing that tasted gross last time, and it still tastes gross, but we just keep going back to it again and again. It's the one thing we all agree on. I'm going to feel free. I'm going to be free if I can just do whatever I want to do. And so this morning, I want to press into that idea. Because real, true freedom is internal. It's not external. We talked about this in week number 11. We said, if I gave you $1 billion, because I'm rich and I'm a pastor, you know, that's how it is. And so if I give you $1 billion and you are bound up inside, you would not become free. In fact, you guys see that lotto winner this week? $758 million, the largest lottery win in the history of North America this last, a few days ago, some woman in Massachusetts won. She was the single ticket, $758 million. And as I read about this in a few news outlets this week, it's amazing. Most articles cited people who talked about the damage of winning the lottery. Because that woman is actually more likely to go bankrupt in the next 3 to 5 years than you are. Lotto studies suggest that lotto winners are actually more likely to go bankrupt after having won the lottery than they were before the lottery, than just the average population. See, freedom is internal, it's not external. You could have everything in the world given to you, but if you're bound up inside, you are no more free than you were before you won the lottery. In fact, the results will say you'll probably feel less free. All of a sudden, the new pressures and the new buildup on your life. Real freedom is internal. In fact, if you are free in your soul, someone took away everything you had, you would not cease to be free. So what I want us to do is to press into this idea of freedom today. Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom." God has wired you to want to be free, and he's called you to freedom, which means that he actually has a plan to lead you into freedom in your life. Say it one more time. Just say, get free. Now, most people think that Christianity has nothing to add to this idea of freedom. That Christianity couldn't contribute to anything to freedom because they would see Christianity of an authoritarian system of do's and don'ts. Therefore, how could Christianity add anything to freedom? Yet the Bible is saturated with the language of freedom. See, Jesus comes, and Luke chapter 4 tells us on the first day of his ministry, what is he talking about? What's he saying? The first day of his ministry, Luke chapter 4 tells us that he goes into the synagogue, and he reads from an Old Testament prophecy about who he was, and this is what the Bible says. This is what he reads out. Jesus reads this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight." The first two things, Jesus says why he has come. First of all, good news to the poor and freedom to people who are bound up. That's what Jesus says. Good news and freedom. That's the starting point of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And notice, freedom is not ancillary to his ministry. Freedom is not an afterthought. Freedom is not tangential. It's not, if you obey, you're going to get free. Jesus doesn't start talking about obedience. He starts talking about freedom. And the reason we've got this messed up in our minds, we get the order wrong. You see, the order in our salvation, the whole reason Paul writes this letter is so that we would understand. You don't obey to get free. God frees you so you can obey and follow the paths that we have for him. See, culture would say, I'm free when I can do whatever I want to do. And yet the Bible would say, no, you need to get free from the stuff that you want to do. Your desires, you don't know what would set you free. But I do because I made you. Let me set you free and to walk in a path that I'll lead you in. That's freedom. He made you and he called you to freedom. It's his plan. It's not an afterthought. It's not, I'm going to get you to freedom. No, the moment by faith you put your trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, he will free you and from there lead you. One of the reasons, like if you're new to church, and we have a whole bunch of people here who are new to church, and I just love that about this space, and you're so welcome. Like you're welcome to belong long before you believe, long before you behave anything like a Christian would. You know, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome to this community. One of the reasons, if that's your space, that you might struggle with the idea of freedom in Christianity is the way that the vocabulary of the Bible has been presented to you in the past. See, like if you're new to church, you probably still know, you know, or at least would have an idea that the Bible talks a lot about sin and the Bible talks a lot about salvation. And when we hear these ideas, when you hear about sin, you're like, that makes me feel guilty. I don't really want to think about that. I don't want to think about sin. No, don't talk about sin. And don't talk about salvation. Like, who said I need a savior, bro? Push back. I don't need your stuff. Just, no, I don't want to think about sin or save. And let's just redefine those terms so we can understand what the Bible's actually saying. Sin is simply bondage and salvation is freedom. The redefinition helps us to understand why Jesus came. That freedom is not the absence of God's leading in our lives. No, freedom is the presence and power of God to step into the things that will make you free. Our culture says you need to be free from any external restraint. You just need to be free to do whatever you want to do. Just press into your desires. You know, you've got it. And the Bible says, you need to get set free from your broken down self that thinks it's all about you and begin to be led by the Spirit of God into the things that will actually make you free. Come on, if you're going to clap, give it up for Jesus in this place. So Paul, I love this. Paul talks about freedom. And it's from here he talks about two things that actually look to our eyes, to our understanding, nothing like freedom. And I want to talk about these two things. He goes on in verse 11, he said, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You were called to freedom. Okay. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Man, this sounds to me, it looks to me so contrary to what I think of freedom. You're called to freedom. Okay, so Paul, what's freedom look like? What do I do? What's my first step? How do I get free? Serve somebody. Really? I'm gonna be free? The first thing, you're talking about freedom. He's, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. Now what do I do now that I'm free? Serve someone. Really what Paul is saying is, if you want to be free, you need to be thinking about yourself less. Because the way we think we're going to be free is if I think more about myself, if I try and get more for myself. And Paul says, no, how you get free is you think less about the stuff that you think that you need. Paul is saying, how do we serve one another? We serve through love. And here's what this whole book of Galatians has been about from cover to cover. That we don't obey to try to get to God. We have been set free. Law obedience and reliance is not what saves us. No, we're saved by grace. We're free, and out of that place we follow. That's the whole theme of this entire book. And so he says, serve through love. You see, most of us serve from something other than love, even Christians. Most of us serve from a place of, we still just think that if I need to serve to be able to get God to like me or to be able to get to God, or maybe we don't think that, we just think I need to serve because it kind of feels good to serve somebody. I just kind of feel good on the inside. And that's not actually serving through love. All of that is serving with selfish motives. It's not until we understand the richness of the gospel that you cannot do anything for God. Jesus did not die for you to get you to do some stuff. He doesn't need your stuff. He doesn't need you to serve somebody. He doesn't need your service. He wants your heart. And it's only when you understand the richness of the gospel that you could do nothing for him that you begin to serve out of a place of pure love, out of freedom, out of knowing I've got everything that I need and I can just serve out of love. I'm not serving you because I'm trying to get something for myself. I'm not trying to get to God. No, I am serving out of a posture of radical freedom. Paul says, if you want to be free, serve somebody out of love. I believe you can't do anything for God until you realize, honestly, you could do nothing for him at all. When you realize that your service is not to try to get to him and is not to try to make yourself feel better, that's actually when you begin to serve purely for the beauty of who he is. And that's freeing. Freedom. You are called to freedom. What do we do with this freedom? Serve one another. Serving somebody else doesn't take away your time. Serving is not a taker of your time, because when you get really free in the presence of God, you're like, it's not even about my time. I'm so full. I am so free. It's not even about me. First idea out of this text that follows freedom is the idea of service, of freeing us from that constantly thinking of ourselves that keeps us just on that treadmill of, if I just get some more. It frees us from that. Real freedom comes to our heart and we realize, no, we serve because we're free. Reading on in verse 16, Paul says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Again, coming out of this idea of freedom. Walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And again, this is counterintuitive to what we think about freedom. Because again, in the culture wars of freedom, over here you've got kind of the modern freedom seeker who says, I'm going to be free if I can just be free from all external restraints. If I can just do what I want to do, I'm free. And then on the other side, you've got the traditionalist who says, you better do some stuff for God or he's going to get you. But Paul's not saying either of those things. Paul is saying that the God who made you, who breathed life into you, who designed you, who gave you a free will, who loves you and who seeks you, it is his desire to fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you new desires. So the thing that leads to freedom is actually not the absence of anything leading you. It's not the absence of God's leading. It's actually the presence of the Holy Spirit to lead you into the stuff that he made you to know will bring freedom in your life. Paul says, be led by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. And this is so good. Notice the language. He does not say, do not gratify the desires of your flesh. He says, you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Now, Paul, don't make the mistake here. Paul does say, like, do not do things all the time, right? We're going to get to chapter 6, and he's going to be like, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. He's talking about reaping and sowing. He's talking about generosity. So he says, do not do stuff all the time. He's going to say in chapter 6, he's like, do not grow weary. Don't give up. You know, it's not like Paul didn't say that. He said, you know, do not commit sexual immorality. Do not. There's all kinds of do nots. In fact, we're going to find the next week when we come back, we're going to find Paul talk about 15 things. 15 things that we're to avoid as followers of Jesus Christ. So all the time Paul is saying do not. He's got do nots everywhere. But why here does he not saying do not? He says you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. What he's saying is that the Christian life, and this is what's wonderful about Christianity, what separates it from religion, what is beautiful about Christianity is that it is not about you trying harder. That the thing that will undermine the desires for sinful nature in your life is actually going to be the presence and power of God, where you get to the place where you say, I don't even have the desires that I used to have. You will not gratify the desire. Now, there's the obvious question that you would have is, well, that doesn't seem to line up with what I've experienced in my life. Because there's been a whole bunch of times I've wanted to do something for God, and it was like I didn't have the ability to walk it out. It's all kinds of times. Every one of us has probably felt that in some way this week. You wanted to do something for God and just felt like you couldn't. So then how on earth can Paul possibly say here, you will not gratify the desires? This is the same Paul who wrote this in Romans 7. He had the same struggle that you and I have. He says in Romans 7, I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. So how can this guy say that you will not gratify the desires of the flesh if you're walking by the Spirit? Really what he's saying is, he's not saying you're going to become perfect. You're never going to sin. What he's saying is, if you're led by the Spirit, it is going to undermine the desires that you used to have. And to really get this, we need to understand this word desires in verse number 16. This is an important word. I don't do a whole lot of this because I don't want you to feel like you need to know Greek to read your Bible, because that's not true. But sometimes it's good to just dig into a word. So this word desires in the Greek is epitumeo. It's important that we understand this so we understand the main target, what the Holy Spirit wants to do in leading us into freedom. Epitumeo, what's this about? What's this desires that you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature? When Paul writes this, he's not talking about desires for evil. He's talking about, really that word's talking about over desires for something good. And it's so important that we get this and understand this. We said this earlier in the series. The stuff that will mess up your life is not going to be a desire for evil as much as an over-desire for something good. Let's give some examples. Sex is great. And we're videoing this, and so it's going to be up. We should just capture that little line right there and just put that as the podcast lead-in, right? Sex is great. And nevertheless, there is all this attraction towards sex outside of the reason God gave sex, which was to create ecstasy in a covenant of intimacy between husband and wife for life. That's why he gave it. It's incredible. It's remarkable at what it does in intimacy and in the place God gave it. But we've got all these, desires for sex outside of that. What's that about? If God gave this good desire, why are these other desires that are outside of that? You see, your pornography addiction is not so much an evil desire for sex as much as it is an over desire for personal affirmation. Because you haven't yet been led by the Spirit into a true awareness that you don't need anyone else's affirmation. And that God actually desires to give you an understanding of his affirmation. You might be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you're still struggling with over-desire in the area of sexuality. It's because you haven't yet felt the affirmation of your Father on your life, and you're looking for it through other areas and through other avenues. No, you might be a Christian. You might be on your way to heaven. You might be trying to serve God, and yet you fall back into things that you don't want to fall into, and it's because of this over-desire for something good. And God wants to bring you to the place where you understand that thing that you desire, he wired you to need it, but he wired you to get it from Jesus. He wired you to understand affirmation from the Father. And so that thing that you're just out seeking, you might believe in it. You might have mental belief that God wants me to feel affirmed by him and loved by him and secure in his presence. You just haven't yet fully leaned into it. And that's why Paul says, be led by the Spirit. I mean, covered and led, just truly led into the presence of God, where you understand that he's all the affirmation that you need. Here's another example. Wealth is good. God created the planet and all that's on it for your good. He is a good, good Father. The problem is, we have this addiction to money because we're not using wealth in the way that God made for us to use it, which was for us to become more and more generous and discover the heart of God. The problem isn't that we have an evil desire for more money. The problem is an over-desire for security. Outside of the way God wanted you to get security, which was being led by the Holy Spirit into a rooted and grounded affirmation in the presence of God that I have got you and I am your Father and I am with you. It's not your evil desire for money, it's your over-desire for the good thing of security that you get from your Heavenly Father. Here's the crazy thing. The world says, you've got an over-desire. That must mean you should go after that thing. Jesus says, you haven't yet found that everything that you need is here in my presence in the fullness of the Spirit. Our culture, the number one thing that our culture is saying is when I've got any desire, it's something I need to go after. And that's the greatest definition of bondage. And God is saying, I want to bring you into my presence. And I want to bring you into an awareness by the Holy Spirit that all you need is in me. You can be full. You can be free. You can be led. Man, I mean, who would have thought that the two things we would learn about freedom from Apostle Paul here in this book that's about freedom, just freedom, freedom, freedom. Who would have thought that freedom is thinking less of myself and serving others and letting go of my over desires and finding myself led by the Spirit into the things that actually bring freedom. I believe before you leave here this morning that there's an opportunity in the presence of Almighty God to just lean in. You might be a Christian on your way to heaven, on your way following Jesus, but you just got these over desires leading you in the wrong direction. And today you just need to lean in. There's something in His presence today that is going to undermine that thing that's been leading you your own way. Hung up, stuck up, following your own way. And God says, no, today come into my presence, child. Lean into who I am. Let go of those over desires that have been leading you. Lean into all that you need is in my presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit is here today to minister to your soul. So would you bow your heads all over the room? And I'm going to invite you to just take a posture of receiving from God today. Understand, Paul has been screaming to us throughout this letter. Your ability to receive from God is not on the basis of your works. It's not on the basis of whether you had a good week or a bad week, or whether you performed, or whether you did enough to receive from God today. Understand, the gospel is much better than that. That Jesus came proclaiming good news and freedom to the captive. If you don't think you can receive from God today, I just speak freedom over your heart. Freedom from believing that it's about you and you need to do something to receive from God. Actually, it's by grace through faith. Understand, God is going to call you to radically abandon your way to take His ways. I am not preaching soft gospel today. I am saying the starting point is freedom. The starting point is you believing God wants to fill you today by the Holy Spirit. So would you just join me all over the room and just raising your hands wherever you're at, just saying, God, would you fill me today? Undermine my desires and bring yours, God. I want to be changed by you. I want to lean in today to who you are. You're a good Father. You're a good Father. You're a good Father. We worship you. We worship you, God. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Something we make time for every week in our services is for anyone in the room that you came here and you're far from God. Not just like you're a Christian with a little bit of sin in your life that you need to take to God and maybe need to bring to the light with other people. Talking about, you don't know that if today was your last day, that you would have eternal life in the presence of God by faith in God's saving power for you. not in what you've done, but in who he is. If today you're in the room and you say, man, you didn't talk a whole lot about salvation today, but I know I need freedom. I know I need the mercy of God for my life. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You might not have every question answered, but today you'd say, hey, before I leave this place, I just know I don't want to do another day without Jesus in my life. If that's you today and you'd say, yeah, today I want to become a Christian. Today I want to surrender my life to God. If that's you, I'm going to ask you in a moment to just raise your hand on the count of three. No one's going to be looking around but me. And raising your hand is not going to save you, and we won't center you out or embarrass you. I actually only just give you that opportunity to raise your hand so you'll know that was my moment of decision. That was the moment where I pressed in and said yes to Jesus. And so if that's you in the room today, you're either making that first time decision or you've just been so far from God, you know you've just been doing your own thing. And today you'd say, I'm going to recommit and reconnect my heart to God. In a moment, we just raise your hand on the count of three. Today, just making that greatest decision you could make in your life. By grace, through faith. If today you're making that decision, would you raise your hand? One, two, three. I'll just look around for a few moments. Say, yeah, today's my day. I don't want to miss this day. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, church, we're going to pray together. If you raised your hand to make that decision today, or you didn't but you wanted to, would you pray this prayer with me? In church, let's help those who are praying that prayer today say, dear Jesus, my life is wholly yours, and I choose to follow you. I believe you died and rose again so I could be forgiven and free. And I put my trust in you. Declare you're the Lord of my life. Help me follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, can we put our hands together for those who made that decision today?
Church, before we get out of here today, if you guys want to grab the connection card that's beside you, if you made that decision to follow Jesus today, whether you raised your hand or that was quietly in your heart, we would love to know about that and celebrate with you. And so we'd love for you to fill out this card, just mark off in the section that said my decision today. Just, you know, it's a safe card to fill out, and if you just drop that in the giving card box on your way out, that'd be great. If you've got the card in your hand, you've got a prayer request today, again at the bottom there. We'd love you to put that down. Our prayer team will pray with you all week long. Or a praise report. We'd love to celebrate with you guys as well, too, for answered prayer. Speaking of celebration, just want to recap last week. We gave an amazing, generous offering as a church to Mercy Ministries Canada. Guys, give yourselves a hand for an amazing offering. We sowed into hurting women in the local area. And a quick reminder, I don't know if you guys were around, but prior to summer, in the old theater, we talked about Starfish Pack program, which is a program that feeds kids in homes where they don't actually have meals, typically from Friday until Monday. They're on a government-assisted program throughout the week. And so starting up this fall, we're excited again to partner with Starfish Packs at Mountain View Elementary School, just down the street from us. There's 15 backpacks every single week that will be packed with food in them so that kids and their families can have food throughout the weekend where they typically don't have food. And so we're excited for that. And it's because of your generous giving that we can sow into the families in this area, right in this community, and bring food to their tables on a weekly basis. So we thank you guys for that. So if you came ready to give and worship God with your giving this morning, there's multiple ways to do that up on the screen behind me. There's also an envelope in your seat if you want to drop that in the giving card box on your way out. That'd be great. Just a couple quick reminders for you this morning before we get out of here. Our prayer team is ready and waiting. Don't leave here today if you want prayer. They'd love to put a hand on your shoulder. We've also got our Resonate Leaders group training happening, starting right now at the back where kids check-in is. Don't miss out on this opportunity to lead a group this fall. Church, stand up with me. We're going to worship God this morning as we leave here. God, thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thank you, Jesus, for the generosity of every individual here, God, that we can sow into what you're doing in our city and our country. Jesus, we love you. Bless everyone here this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's sing it together.
You are my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. But when you call my name, I ran out of that grave.
God ain't got limits. My God ain't got limits. My God is the reason I'm here. On the third day he had risen, he has old dominion. My God is the reason I'm here. I can't explain what it is he has done for me. I can't contain what it is he has done. I can't explain what